It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're in the hump week, Bob. It's between Christmas and New Year's. I hope you had a wonderful, all our listeners had a wonderful holiday season and enjoyed your Christmas with your family and friends. And now we're looking forward to putting this 2024 behind us and moving into the new year, new political environment, and new lots of things. And I'm really looking forward to 2025. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
It is cooking. It is cooking. Thanks. Welcome to the show. I'm just looking for a note of something I wanted to throw into here, and I probably left it on my desk, but we just basically want to talk about ribs today and get off all the Christmas stuff. Not off of it, but
yeah,
I think we kind of beat it to
death. Before we do that, it's a season of eating. I think I can't speak for anybody else. I'll tell you that I eat things that I don't eat any other time of the year. Lots of sweets that I generally are not in our house that were. And all of that stuff is wonderful. But I was just going to ask you, both Conrad and you, you go through this 3 weeks of parties, whether they're work-related or
right.
family, and they're probably still not done.
Right.
Right? I mean, you got some more of these going on. And what was your favorite thing that you ate in the last week or two? Because, it's a variety of things that I don't normally get. And I was just curious what you thought yours was so far.
I think that turkey my son smoked is still on my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. It was just done to perfection. It was probably a very high quality turkey to start with.
Okay.
And I know they vary based on who raised them.
Well, and how old they are, because some of the frozen ones are a year or two old by the time you get them out of the big box stores. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a gift from somebody with very exquisite tastes. And I've never seen the label before. I should have paid attention to it because it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But I helped him with it. And honestly, I think I told you, but the spice we used is from Mad Jack's porchetta version. And I thought the fennel seed would be nice because I love fennel and stuffing, you know. And let's just give it a try. We did that inside and out. Smoked it at 2 1/4 for about 6-7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And ran out of charcoal. Got to get to Sobeys and get some more of that good charcoal. I had to buy some crummy stuff down the road. But we actually finished it off in the oven because it was very cold.
Yeah.
And we were just running out of charcoal.
Right. Smoke. Well, and there's a tip right there, I think, that we've often mentioned to people that after meat gets to about 140 degrees, the smoke just lays on top. It doesn't penetrate the meat anyway.
Right.
So if you were up to that temperature, it doesn't matter where you finish it because it actually is probably better. The oven's a little more controlled environment, and you get it right to your final temp.
Yes, we were at about 155, and it wasn't going any further.
Right, yeah, the bird stall.
Yeah,
right.
And I had smoked a bunch of stuff, so I think part of the problem was my ash box on the Gen 7, the Great Lakes smokers. You know, it's limited. It's a small firebox. You got to clean the ash out every couple burns. And
right.
I didn't.
Yep, it needs to breathe. That fire needs air underneath it to keep it hot. And if the ash is there, it doesn't happen. Conrad, what about you? You had some good eating?
I got a short answer here. It's my sister-in-law, who passed about a year and a half ago, used to make these. And my wife made them for Christmas. They are cherry tomatoes. And then inside, you've got a mix of bacon, Miracle Whip, and onion. And, oh, man, you want to talk about incredible. They just explode in your mouth, and they are
great
the best.
Great little bite.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Man. So cool. She made those for the family, and that's something that stuck out in my mind. When
nice.
You,
I, too. Mine was an appetizer that our buddy Stan and Melissa Stan made, and it was a crostini that he had put garlic and herb on and put them in the oven and toasted them. You know, just French bread that he cut thin, put garlic butter and herbs on it and toasted them and then brought them out. And he put on a smoked salmon, capers, and sour cream, not cream cheese, smoked salmon, sour cream, capers, and scallions.
Nice.
And it was just a little two-biter, but man, did that pop. I always made them with cream cheese.
Was the salmon smoked?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. I mean, I couldn't stop eating these dang things. It was like it was fresh. You know, everything was the smoked fish wasn't over-smoked. And
was this like an appetizer?
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. And he had a big plate of them, and he made another plate because I kept eating them.
It's a meal.
Yeah, I made it a meal. But,
call it what you want.
They were just so good. But anyway, that's something that to me screams holiday. Like that somebody takes time to make the little itty bitty things.
There's
and a
so
bunch
much of
them.
That goes on at Christmas.
Yeah, but it was just I wanted to give my shout out to Stan because they're nothing.
He's quite the foodie.
Yeah, he's like, oh, they're nothing. I just whipped these up. I'm like, dude, these are amazing. But anyway. So
we have our final Christmas party Sunday.
Yeah.
All my kids will be in because they've got, you know, we've all got in-laws and all this stuff. So my kids from New York wanted to let their kids spend the first Christmas in their new house in New York around White Plains area. So that's cool, but, she's the oldest kid.
Right.
Got to wait for her. So our family Christmas is tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's going to be different. It's going to be cool because my son-in-law that lives down the street loves oysters and sashimi. So he's going to Fish Lads.
Okay.
He went to, I think he's going today, and he's getting some sushi-grade tuna and a bunch of oysters. And there's only a few of us that'll eat that, so we're going to have a time.
Yeah, right. That sounds good. That's something that that takes a little bit of skill to prepare and make sure it's done right, but that's good. We'll wait to hear how that goes.
I'm making a dipping sauce for the sashimi. I'm going to try and replicate what my boss used to do in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you have those traditions and favorite foods you like and love. And that's why we're going to have T-Gid on in the next segment, because he and I kind of did the same thing back in the day with those smokers, and he actually had a retail store, and he owned a Cajun grill production facility with his brother. His brother made the grills. He ran the store. And then he and I both repped for smokers and sauces. And, of course, he's got the Cajun rub out now. And he just came out with a sauce, which I'm anxious to try. He's a phenomenal chef. And you've all met him over the airwaves. But to spend time with him is just – it's hysterical. You have so much fun. So that was, you know, doing ribs and getting a Cajun's opinion on ribs, I thought would be fun.
Yeah, and there will be a different twist on him. His seasoning profiles are different.
Another guy I used to rub elbows with when I was in the HPBA, which is Health Patio Barbecue, is Stephen Reichlin, and I brought his book, and we've had him on the show before. He does several different shows on YouTube probably, but this is the book he sent us both, Barbecue Bible.
Yep, I have that.
Best Ribs Ever, and I have made a few of these variations, and he's just head and shoulders above my skill, but it's a good book.
Yeah, yep, would have made a great stocking stuffer, but if your stockings are already empty, you just buy yourself one, right? That'd
sure.
be a good thing.
Sure.
So, but anyway, I think we're done. We're going to go to New Year's Eve party, right, on Tuesday night. And this is a bourbon buddy that does this. And he bestows on us all one opportunity to open any bourbon in his bar. I'm really looking forward to that.
Do you have a DD?
What? Yeah, right. That's Lisa. She doesn't drink bourbon. At least not as much as I do. But anyway, coming up next, we are going to talk to T-Gid, and he's in Lafayette, Louisiana, down there. I'm actually going to be going down there in March. I'm going to connect with him and see if I can stop by and shake his hand. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him in person. So
my son Jordan is into bourbon as well. Alex, not so much. But Jordan, the other night when we did our first local party, he was making clarified New York sour.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's a process.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to hit the Rib Shack down in Louisiana with T-Gid. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.